B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
You're really great. For your information, I think you're really nice. For your information, I think that you're the best. For your information, better than the rest. FYI, I love you. So tell me that your heart is true.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. You can watch us. Joe Murray's in here for Wallach. You can watch it. It's going to be the delight of many people on, from what I recall, on twitch.tv. If you search for 98.5 The Sports Hub and subscribe. Bunch of Murray heads on that piece. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and stream the show, get the podcast, read the blogs. Yeah, the John Wallach's not here. And, John, it's if you want to get out of work, this is the time. Now, because I can't anymore this year because I've blown through all the vacation and sick days and have got into
used up all of those dates.
Oh, no, and some.
And then some.
And got a doctor. Many days I didn't get paid.
Now you can just be pissed at everybody else.
Well, no, I'm not pissed at all. I really am not pissed at all. I enjoy Joe being here. But it's just funny because he did ask and they did tell him because his kids had a stomach ache. And so
he had a fever. He had a high fever.
He had a fever and a stomach ache.
Yeah.
And so they said he went to he told our program director and the program director said, I guess don't come in. So there you go.
They're waiting for his COVID results. Yeah, they wouldn't find out till today. So they were just like, hey, just in case, you should stay home. Because, if your son's got COVID, then obviously you're not going to be coming in.
But the point being, Rich, is that if your son has a fever and a stomach ache, you don't got to go to work. That is fantastic news if you were out there. Now, for me, that doesn't mean no good because I wouldn't get paid. But John is well past the ear surgery. We're almost a year since the ear surgery. We're going on 11 months since the ear surgery.
Yeah, it was like the beginning of November, I think, that he left for that, I believe, right? Before Thanksgiving, yeah.
So if you live with anyone, roommate anyone, and you want a sick day, and I'm being dead serious, and you want a sick day, just say... But the thing is that, and John's telling the truth, but the thing is that you can't be specific with symptoms. You can't go like, they have like a bad like chest cold because then everyone's going to freak out. But if you want one day off, say you're drinking on like a Sunday afternoon, like you're watching football and you're drinking. and you feel like, oh, boy, I don't want to go to work hungover. You're starting to dread that. It's like the late into the 4 o'clock games, and you're starting to get that dread, like, oh, God, tomorrow's going to suck. All you got to do is go such and such whom I live with. And I don't even know if you'd have to live with them. You could be just, I was watching football with a guy who started getting a stomach ache and had a fever and is getting a COVID test today, and we'll get the results tomorrow. And so what do you want? And then you go, what do you want me to do? And they really have to tell you not to come in.
Yeah.
So that...
In John's case, because it sounds like it's something that's real, I'd much rather be at work than be with a sick kid any day of my life.
No, John's is real. Again, John's is real, but I'm saying right. This is... This
if you want to get out, you got to get a jail free card. Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing is that you got to do it. You got to do it, like, by the evening. John did it. John didn't screw around. John was just like... But John doesn't have any fun. So there's no way he was doing it, faking it. But John didn't waste any time. I think we knew during the 1 o'clock games yesterday. So the thing is that is, so live it up. This is, you have a built-in excuse. They can't ask you for anything. So you just go, yeah, so they're getting a COVID test. I don't know what you want me to do. I've been around them. And then you go, okay, they didn't have COVID, and then you go about your business.
Bruins Luchador chimes in and says, Fred, leave him alone. Old people are at high risk, don't you know?
That's true. And so. Especially people with only one working ear who get paid.
That's right.
For their maladies.
Yes.
John, of course, you know by now, has made many, many dollars off of this ear malady. He's more than made up for his... Because when you get the short-term disability pay, it ain't as simple as all that. You got to go to the insurance company, and then you got to go to the doctor, and you got to fill out a form with them, and then they got to release all your information to the insurance company, and then the insurance company pays you about $1 for every $1 million you're owed. So my suggestion is don't get into the short-term disability portion of it. For short-term disability, for the time I left, I could buy myself... half a go-kart. So because, like, they were like, yeah, we approved your short-term disability. This is the insurance, and it's not the medical insurance company, it's a life insurance company that I had to go through with this company. So it's not like Aetna or Blue Cross or something like that.
Sure. Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
a life insurance company. So I had to go through this life insurance company, and my wife had handled most of it, but then it ultimately came down to where I had to talk to the guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, you were approved. We're sending out your check. And I'm like, oh, yeah, when are you sending out the check? And he kind of was annoyed. And I'm like, why is this guy annoyed? This is going to be big dollars. And he's like, this is the amount of money I'm giving you. And I'm like, oh.
That's not quite what I...
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess it's better than nothing. But, again, I'm... Like, I don't... There's no way... I probably... Because you have to purchase the short-term disability through work. And I would have to guess that I about broke even on that deal.
You think you got it from what you've been paying for it?
Yeah, I'd have to look at a paycheck, but it can't be much more than breaking even. So, yeah, the short-term disability is something I'm really going to have to consider the next time that I'm out. Because CBS didn't dock you the short-term disability, I don't think. Did CBS just pay you?
For the short-term disability? Dude, I don't know. I've never had to deal
with
that.
No, but you were out for, like, a long time. Did you have to go through short-term disability?
No. Because I think it's because I wasn't the one who was,
No. Like, it doesn't matter. They paid you through your absence of work.
Yes, they did.
Yep. They paid you full salary through your absence of work.
But I think that, like, combined, like, because I used a bunch of vacation for that, too, and sick days. So I really didn't get many bonus days that I wasn't supposed to be paid anyway.
But you were off for, like, 3 months.
No. I was gone for 5 weeks total, which
when Mary
took
was
up a
sick?
Lot of that. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were gone. I thought you were gone for longer than that.
No. I was gone for 5 weeks total, and then when I had to leave again, I was gone for 3 weeks. But it was a different year. So, actually, no, I'm sorry. It was only 3 weeks the first time I was gone, and then it was 2 weeks the next time. It wasn't 5 weeks because it was three and it was spread out. Remember, I came in a couple days near the end on the weekend, but I used vacation and I used sick days for a lot of those days I was gone.
Yeah. I was under the... I thought you missed, like, a book.
No. I missed a chunk of the book, though. I mean, 3 weeks in the middle of a book isn't fun. But, yeah, so that was... And then, as I said, it was a lot, but a year had gone... Or we had passed January 1st, so I was able to take other days off again when it kind of... The calendar resets. So I never had to dip into that short-term stuff or any of that.
I was under the impression that you would miss more time than that.
No.
All right. A lot of sports action on yesterday. Joe and I have our opinions on the Patriots.
I'm glad Joe's in this morning because he almost won me a ton of money yesterday.
I know. It was a late touchdown.
There were two games that we almost got the elusive scoregami, which I learned about on Thursday, that I put like $100 on. I didn't even put that much. And I don't even know how much it paid, but Joe was telling me the scoregami is when a score happens in the NFL that's never happened before. And yesterday, there were two games. The Patriots won and the Texans won. That the Texans was 4 seconds away from me getting the scoregami, which I forgot how much it paid, but it was, I think, some pretty decent cash, if I'm not mistaken. So almost got that. Damn it. Just if it wasn't for stupid Ryan Tannehill and his goofy face, I would have ended up making a little bit of money back. Because yeah. I'm right now, I'm even. I don't think I've got anything.
Bankroll. Right. Or I think we're all even or negative at this point.
I think it's negative at this point.
No.
Because you were up 100 and then you bet 100?
No. I bet 100. I had no bankroll, but I bet 100, but it goes through the rest of the year.
Yeah, he's got 100 in the till.
Yeah, in the till. So I guess technically I am down 100 because it's sitting there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just mean in terms of winnings this year.
Oh, yeah. No, I've zero. I'm right there. I'm broke even pretty much.
All right. We'll have all that for you coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, for Toucher Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray in studio with us, and the first post-COVID game for Cam Newton was one I'm sure that he'd like to forget.
Newton, he takes the shotgun snap. A three-man push. He's hit. The ball is loose. It's on the turf, and the Broncos have an opportunity for a strip sack. The Patriots had a couple of linemen dive at the football to try to bail out Newton.
Yeah, well, that was gross. Nothing worked on offense at all as the Patriots barf one up at home against a bad team. They lose the Broncos 18-12. Let's start with Cam, who for the majority of the past 2 weeks was nowhere near Foxborough, as it sure looked like, and it really looked like it. Outside of his 76 yards rushing, he looked off, injured, or just plain bad. Two interceptions, but he was getting absolutely no help from the people around him.
Shotgun snap to Newton, four-man rush. Cam's in the pocket, throws down the middle, open, Izzo makes it. Catch the 45. He turns to the outside. The ball's loose. Back loose. He fumbled. Picked up by Denver. And Simmons runs it across the midfield stripe to the 45 of New England. Shoved out of bounds by Zuber at the Patriot 42.
Third and three. Possession of the year. Great throw. Terrible fumble. Can we get a tight end that functions?
Possession of the year. You have won all the awards. If that's possession of the year, then they got a bad issue over there at tight end. The Broncos would turn that fumble into their final points of the game, and the entire offense was just inept. No TDs the first half of a home game since 2016. The receivers weren't just useless. They were concerning. Julian Edelman caught only two passes for 8 yards. Something's not right there. N'Keal Harry every day inches closer to bust territory with his no-catch game. On top of that, he was just out-muscled by Bryce Callahan for an interception there in the third quarter.
Newton under center from the 25. White in the back. Newton with a play fake. Dwight drops back. He throws to the near side. The ball is tipped and intercepted. Caught by the falling Bryce Callahan, who rises and then runs down the left sideline and is eventually shoved out of bounds near the Patriot 20-yard line. And in fact, with Denver procuring its third takeaway of the day.
Ugh, gross. It didn't help that the running game was atrocious as well, with Sony Michel out on the COVID list. Damian Harris, Rex Burkhead, and James White combined for 15 carries and 41 yards. I guess it doesn't help that you couldn't really recognize anybody on that offensive line, but at least the defense, who have been playing well the last 3 weeks, gave the team a chance to win.
Locke extends the hands, takes the snap. He's going to look to throw. Locke, under some pressure, hit as he releases the ball. Deep downfield is going to be intercepted by Phillips. Adrian Phillips intercepts. I make it Jonathan Jones. Jonathan Jones with the interception down the right seam on the throw by Locke intended for Patrick.
What a ridiculous decision by Denver.
Yeah, that was a great, great job by Jonathan Jones. He may have been one of the lone bright spots of yesterday's game. He broke up three passes in the end zone and then came up with that ridiculous interception right there late in the fourth quarter to give the team a chance to drive down the field to win it. But
fourth and 10, shotgun step. Broncos setting the blitz. A throw by Newton to the right. Incomplete with Harry, who was open at the 10-yard line. The ball sailed to the outside as Harry turned to the inside. And the Broncos are going to come away with their second straight win and their first victory here at Gillette since 2006.
What do you think happened there on that play?
At first I thought that Harry ran the wrong route, but then everyone after the game said it was Cam.
Yeah, Cam Newton, it was a bad throw. And after the game, every reporter went up to Cam Newton and said, oh, did he, you know, break the wrong way? And Cam's like, no, I didn't. That again, N'Keal Harry only getting two targets on 51 snaps. I know you mentioned the interception there, but that's unacceptable. That's Cam's guy. On that last play, that's all on Cam Newton. He overthrew a guy who was wide open. I don't care if it was he didn't break the right way. He was wide open.
If it was a timing route and he broke the wrong way, then it would be on the receiver. But
yeah, no, this was a Cam Newton miss.
Yeah, well, that's what they said after the game, so you got to go with what they said. When we play Belichick, which we will, but I'll get into it a little bit. I my theory on what's going on over there is starting to come in line with what we know from the Patriots and Bill Belichick. My theory on what's been going on over there and him being upset after the game, I think that he is going to regain control of this team right now. Because I think he let the team, I think he was like, all right, like I'll be the team guy and okay, you guys. And then he saw yesterday and that is gone. Yeah. You can kiss all that goodbye.
See, I got a different feel on that. My feeling was that because of, you know, him wanting to protect the team and them still reeling from the infections, that because of the things that the NFL didn't concede to them, like going to Kansas City and doing all of that, that it spread throughout the team. And now he's got an offensive line that didn't have hardly anybody on it that you could recognize. His quote-unquote star running back, Sony Michel, wasn't there. He's got, you know, guys who are still reeling from coming back from this thing. It just seems like he's pissed at the whole situation still.
So what about Tennessee, who's won two games?
This is not an excuse. Yeah, because Cam was sick. Tennessee came back and killed.
So Cam was sick.
What you're
saying is still reeling from the infection.
He's reeling that these guys weren't able to practice.
No, what I think
from him not getting any concessions as far as being able to get a bigger locker room.
Them to travel. I know the locker room was a problem. That was 2 weeks ago. Here's the deal. What I think. Is I think that Belichick and Joe, you can piggyback me on this because I have a feeling you agree with me, is that he went, all right, McCourty, White, the McCourtys, which there should only be one because Jason McCourty is not a good football player. But then he could have said, I think he said, okay, McCourty's and White, I let you cry yourself out of a game that you had a better chance of winning even without Cam Newton if you would have played that Sunday. And then I screwed around and I let you guys, you know, go through all this and not have practice. And you gave me this as a result. And Joe, I have a feeling you agree with me.
So I did post game yesterday. We had Greg Bedard on from the Boston Sports Journal. And, you know, my opinion is that I think everything that's happened the last 2 weeks for this team caught up to them yesterday. I do think that what's happened with the NFL, you know, the fact that the lack of practice, the fact that the guys were wearing face masks on the sidelines with their helmets off yesterday, I feel like they don't want to play football right now. They're not together enough. The coach said it after the game. I've never heard Bill Belichick in my life after a loss say we need more time together.
But whose fault is that?
Well, is it his?
Belichick.
Or, I mean, well, he.
It's the NFL's.
No,
rules.
They could.
They're the ones who shut down the facility.
Whoa, Rich. We talked for 2 weeks about how Belichick has got the players back and how Belichick is going by what they want to do. The NFL did not shut down that facility. They cried their way out of a game. The NFL conceded. That is a conversation we all agreed on for many days.
What do you mean they cried their way out of a game?
They did not want to play two Sundays ago, and we talked about this, and the belief that our show had was that Belichick or Kraft went to the NFL, and the NFL said, okay, we'll do this because you say you have a player revolt on your hands, and so they didn't play the game, correct? We have said that, correct?
They moved it, but they played the game, but they gave up a bye week to do it.
Did we or did we not? Because you can take it back now, but I'm not having a discussion again where it changes midway through the conversation. Did we or did we not for the last 2 weeks talk about how that we believe that the Patriots went to the NFL and said, we do not want to play this game on Sunday. We'll have a player revolt on our hands.
And they moved the game.
It's a yes or no question. Did we say that?
That they didn't play the game? No.
That they didn't play the game 2 weeks ago.
You mean last weekend?
Yes, that they didn't play the game last weekend.
Yes, and they moved it to their bye week, so they gave up a bye week to do it.
Yes, so they cried their way out of playing the game last Sunday.
And did something they didn't want to have to do anyway, give up a bye week.
Okay, I don't care about that. They didn't want to play the game last Sunday, and it came back and bit them in the ass yesterday.
Well, I mean, the game wasn't very good. They were awful, and they weren't ready to play. But...
And they didn't have the time together. And their offense was terrible. They weren't together.
How many days could they have practiced, Fred? Do you believe they could have practiced that they didn't practice?
Well, they could have played the game last Sunday when they had still been together and didn't have 2 weeks off. How many days, Joe, could they have practiced?
Well, it would have been their bye week.
So they could have played Wednesday, Thursday.
I actually don't know.
So they could have played probably a Wednesday show up,
Thursday practice, Friday walkthrough.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they got any of that. Yes. I think they've had two practices in 2 weeks.
So they could have doubled their practices this week.
But they had to close the facility, Fred.
They didn't have to close the facility.
They did because they didn't want the Patriots closed.
The Patriots closed the facility.
I just want to make that clear. The Patriots, not the NFL.
Right, the league did not close the facility. Yeah, the Patriots closed the facility.
All I'm trying to say is after the game, Bill Belichick normally says we need to play better, coach better, do better. After the game, he says we need more time together. The only guy that took anything at all after the game yesterday was Cam Newton. He was the only guy who stood there and said we need to play better. I'm telling you, they were rusty yesterday. The offensive line was a mash unit. The wide receivers couldn't get open.
They should have been able to beat the Broncos with like their practice squad. Like there's that part of it, there's no excuse for. Like they should have been able to kick their ass no matter what.
And that's the thing is that, you know, you look at other teams that are in the spot, they've done well. You can't we can't sit here and say the Patriots were rusty today, or you know they haven't had practice, or you know just like Brian Hoyer a week ago finding out on a Saturday that he's a quarterback on Monday, like he didn't want to take
the Titans were practicing the entire time anyway.
Well, illegally, I guess. But
so
no,
I mean, I think that's why they kind of started right back up without any kind of missing a beat.
All I'm saying is that I've never in my life heard Bill Belichick say we need more time together instead of saying we need to. The coaching was bad yesterday. What was going on in these two-point conversions? These non-spot calls? Like, there was a lot of bad coaching yesterday.
Yeah, I know not challenging the James White third down. I mean, that's something that they absolutely should have done.
Yeah. Going for two, and it's a 9-point game?
I didn't mind that. Like, that part I didn't mind because you were going to have to do it eventually anyway. But there's a logic to knowing what you have. Because, I mean, at some point, you'd have to go for two anyway. You're down eight. You got to go for two on the second one. So,
yeah, but don't you have to get the touchdown first? Like, again, they had a chance to win the game at the end. They didn't. And, you know, the trick play, the special plays.
When you're busting out two trick plays against the Broncos, you got issues.
Here's my issue with the trick plays, though. They worked, right? You can't do those trick plays on your own 20-yard line. No. That's the stuff you do when you're on your own, when you're on the opposing 30 or 20. Each play got you 22 yards and 17 yards.
I believe that the Patriots are going to be run a lot differently for the rest of this season than they were over the last 2 weeks.
And just quickly, I totally think everything going on with COVID and that team affected them on the football field yesterday. This is a team with mystique, a team that's, you know, a team that has veteran leadership and one of the best coaches in the league. I'm just shocked it got to them yesterday against the subpar Denver Broncos team.
Oh, well, a terrible Denver Broncos team. An absolutely terrible Denver Broncos team. I completely agree with you. They pushed and pushed and pushed, and then they got what they wanted, and then they pushed and pushed and pushed
some more.
Didn't
you think they were
going to
win?
Of course I thought they were going to win.
I thought they were going to win by double digits.
No, I'm saying at the end of the game.
Yes, of course I thought they were going to win at the end of the game. They don't lose. The Patriots don't lose that game.
There's some concerns, though, that go beyond just them not being ready to play. I mean,
they'll be ready.
Cam Newton's got no one to throw to.
No, he doesn't.
No one. No, Edelman is lost. I mean, first of all, there's something wrong. He's playing injured, obviously. And then N'Keal Harry. You know, we've been giving this guy all sorts of leeway and saying, maybe this is the year he gets warmed up.
Nope.
I mean, what happened yesterday was just inexcusable.
I think it – maybe he didn't get open, but, I mean, two targets, dude? Like Edelman?
Well, two targets, Edelman, he's not open.
Edelman had two targets?
No, didn't Edelman have a bunch in the second half?
In the second half, they started getting
Edelman.
There might be arm issues with Cam, too. Like, he didn't throw the ball downfield too much yesterday.
Well, I think he got crushed one play trying to look downfield.
Maybe he's holding the ball too long, too.
He's dancing around. Yeah, he's held the ball too long.
Edelman had 10 targets yesterday. Now that I'm looking it up.
He had a bunch of targets yesterday. They weren't downfield.
Six targets.
He had six targets, and two of those were cute trick plays where he got rid of the ball. All right, we'll be back. But I do believe the way this team is going to be run, that the days of Bills acquiescing to the players and Bills, he's refined the way he's coaching this team are out the window. He sat through that game. I can only imagine what's going through his mind right now. We'll be right back here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
His left foot forward, he takes a high snap. It's off his fingertips, bouncing in the backfield. And he dives on it to cover up outside the 30. Johnson, along with Derek Tuska in the backfield for the Broncos. And a huge loss for the Patriots to the 34.5.
Yeah, I think I just answered that right at the beginning. We need more time together. We need to practice together. We need to execute and, do everything better. No question about that.
Oh, Three Doors Down, baby. Take Me Away. I was having this conversation with Joe off the air, so I'll ask him on the air. Joe, if the team would have played the game against Denver without Cam, not that Cam isn't their best quarterback, because he is by far, but if they would have played last week, this game, better chance of winning.
Yes.
Because then the excuse of we had 2 weeks not together doesn't come into the picture. So again, as I thought at the time, I think they shot themselves in the foot and picked the wrong time for this.
I also think that it would have been Brett Rypien versus Jarrett Stidham.
All right.
And I think there's a lot of other things in there,
though. I understand.
But
fine.
Yes.
They would have had most of their linemen.
Yes, you're right.
The offensive line was a massive problem, obviously, yesterday.
So here's the deal. I actually thought, granted, they moved everybody around. There was a bad snap. Wynn got beat on a sack that Cam Newton held the ball way too long on.
And then there was
another one where Wynn got the ball tipped on his defender, and then they intercepted it. Besides that, I don't think this unpopular take. I don't think the line was all terrible like everyone thinks. I know there was a few that stood out there. The receivers couldn't get open. That's on them. And Cam was looking downfield way too much.
Well, the sacks were coverage sacks.
And they went away. Yes, and they went away from the run. Like Damian Harris runs for 100 yards in one game, and then what did he get yesterday?
Harris yesterday had 19.
They had 25 total attempts yesterday. Yeah. 10 of them were from Cam Newton. This team can't chase the problem. I know they did it against Seattle, and maybe that's an anomaly at this point, throwing the football downfield. But I know people are going to say, oh, the offensive line was terrible. I think they did a decent job. Dude, they were a mash unit yesterday. They just kept throwing different guys in there. I think every lineman played a different position yesterday.
Yeah, it's true. It's like these guys, like a matter of fact, who's the dude? Elamunor?
Jermaine Elamunor, and he got crushed on that sack. Yeah,
he hasn't played that position since 2016. Yeah. There was like other guys just completely moving all around.
Froholt played. We haven't seen him in, I don't know, a year. and then they had Wynn playing guard when he's your tackle.
But you know what? Once again, Even with that makeshift, you still should beat the Broncos.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no reason that they should have lost that game yesterday. Even with a fatigued team or a team that wasn't ready to play because they only practiced twice, this should have been the layup of all layups if there was any game on that schedule where you could look at it and go, all right, well, you've got 2 weeks off. Well, they haven't played the Jets yet. I'm sorry. If there was any other game other than playing the Jets, that they should have been in a pretty good position after only practicing twice in 2 weeks, it should have been the Broncos. And so you can make a ton of excuses, but the problems go beyond that. The problems go towards things and patterns that we've seen. N'Keal Harry not being any part of this offense. Julian Edelman is obviously injured, and Cam Newton's got nothing to work with right now. So there needs to be some sort of change. They got to trade for a wide receiver. Oof. They've got to do something.
Well, they have a stable of running backs, and they have Cam Newton. If they're not keeping Cam Newton next season, and I don't think that you play like you're going to, meaning that I don't think that you protect him so that he's healthy for the long term, is that you do what, when just go here. Here's a grade school playbook.
Yeah.
Go out there and run.
I said this, you guys know, I've been on the record saying I don't like this offense. I don't.
It's boring.
I think it showed yesterday. It has nothing to do with Cam Newton. Where would the Patriots be without Cam Newton? Like, he's their best player. But in that fourth quarter, the final two drives of the game, they just said, all right, Cam, go do what you got to do. He pump fake, would get to the when he gets to the outside, he can't be stopped.
Yep.
And I think they have to run an offense where it's Cam Newton run first and then look to pass.
Have you seen people try to tackle Cam Newton? You got to leg tackle him.
Yeah,
You can't put your shoulder down, bounce off of him.
Yeah. But let's be honest for a second here. Like, we clearly the offensive line has issues. So you're going to have to, like, when your offensive line stinks, you need to run the football. Now, they couldn't run through the holes last night, and that was probably a huge issue. It was a massive problem.
There were no holes.
It was a massive issue. Yeah. But you need to change it up. Like, that's on coaching.
That should be a pack. But here's the problem is I think that when that happens and your offensive line sucks, then you go to the passing game and your receivers suck. So, I mean, it was basically Cam Newton, any kind of – they had to go to gimmick plays. And as I was saying before, when you bust out two gimmick plays against an awful team like the Broncos, dude, things aren't going well with your offense.
Yeah, I don't think they spread it out enough. I think they kept two tight ends on the football field when they don't throw to either of them. They don't even throw to Asiasi. Like, the guy's wide open, they don't throw to him.
You love Asiasi.
I think Asiasi – they – I talked to Greg Bedard. He says that they're not ready yet. Dalton Keene wasn't activated. Asiasi was open in the middle of the field. Newton doesn't even look at him, looks down the sideline. If they're not going to pass to him, don't put him on the football field. In the Ryan Izzo experiment, I am out. I'm out on Ryan Izzo.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
How dare you?
You just mentioned a trade, Rich.
Uh-huh.
They can't find another tight end around the league right now. How many tight ends are on Tampa Bay?
All right.
Do the Jets have a tight end? There's a local kid. I know him. What's his name?
Herndon?
No, the other big tight end there from New Hampshire.
They all suck.
I'm just saying, they need it.
Joey, not good.
You need a tight end.
Captain Crappy Pants. Okay, what are you going to trade? What are you going
to
trade?
I mean, you gave up a second-round pick from Muhammad Sanu. You need to invest in the team. Let me give you a name.
I'm not giving up a second-round pick if I'm the Patriots.
No, me either. But you know who I would? I'd look at a David Njoku from the Browns. You need to invest. If you're going to invest in the season, you have to invest in that position.
Browns are too good to trade anybody right now, even though they got their asses kicked yesterday. I mean, they're still playing well. And that offense has been pretty good, despite Baker Mayfield. So I don't think they're going to do anything crazy like that.
If I'm the Patriots, and by the way, this is going to be tough for you, Joe, as a youngster, to relatively young man, to get used to. You can't be in the business of giving up assets to win now, because you're in the business of accumulating assets. You're in a weird place because maybe you're not accumulating assets because you don't. I don't even know what you would trade to accumulate something, but you're not in a win now mode.
This brings up a topic I brought up last night. What do you do with Julian Edelman going forward here?
You just try to protect him. I know it sounds awful because you need him, but I mean, he's hurt.
Well, what
he's
I'm saying is
obviously playing hurt.
Do you play him? Do you put him on the trade block? What do you do? Like, you just said accumulate assets. Could they get an asset for
him? I don't know what you're going to get for him. No, you're not going to get anything for him. Not right now. Dude, he's hurt. I mean, he's six targets, 8 yards yesterday, and he looks – I mean, I heard a bunch of people say he doesn't look invested. I just think that he's frustrated. I think it's more frustration than anything.
Get a fifth-round pick for him.
Yeah,
maybe. Fifth, sixth-round pick.
Yeah. I don't know. You got a second for – I'm just saying. I wonder what the value would be.
He's an old – washed up slot receiver.
I don't know.
And Joe, this is the third week in a row that Edelman's been held to three or fewer catches and less than 40 yards. I mean, basically, if you're a defense, what do you do? Like, what's the easiest? This is the easiest offense to figure out. It's like, all right, cover Edelman. And then, you know, what else you got?
Yeah, yeah. But bully Harry. And then don't let Bird beat you.
He's real tough to bully.
Which is funny that you would bully Harry considering he's gigantic.
But that's what it is. They stare at Bird running downfield because he's the only deep threat they have. Harry's already covered. And then he's going to throw to that Izzo guy. And then the running backs are covered. I mean, James White had a decent day. I'll give him props.
Harry's had 5 catches in 3 games, I just saw. I mean, it's like first rounder, man. And I went, you know, on Friday, I went down that list of all the guys that were picked after him. And it's really sad.
Harry's not good. He's slow. He's not
good. He doesn't fight for that. Like that interception, that's
because
he got out muscled. I mean, I don't know.
Another thing we just mentioned off the air, which I think leads into everything that happened last week. I think Belichick's going to go over the film today, crush everybody. And on Tuesday, it's like, all right, who wants to be here? Who wants to play?
No, you see, I think it's the opposite. I think this is one of those, we're going to forget what happened yesterday. This is like a bury the ball type of game. Because I think he's going to say, and Fred may be right. Maybe he comes in with a brand new attitude of, you know, we're not going to, you know, kowtow to the disease anymore. I don't know. Maybe he'll do that. But I do know that this is not going to be I'm going to crush everyone coming off of 2 weeks where he believes they were only allowed to practice twice. He's going to be forget about it. Let's start playing real football now.
I think he's going to be I truly believe this. I think he bit his tongue and said, okay, and went along with it and said, okay, I respect you guys. You're veteran players. This is unprecedented. And bit his tongue and fought through it and listened to them. And then when that happened on Sunday, now he's saying, no, He's saying, I got 20 years of being the best coach in football,
yep,
and I'll be damned if I'm going to let you guys screw around and make Vrabel look like he's me.
Wins record. Don't forget that thing. That wins record's there. He wants it.
No, he wants to win. I mean, that's what he... I mean, he wants to win regardless. I don't care if he has one win.
Well, you know what Vrabel did that was smart? Vrabel, and you know, this is... You can say it's cheesy that he did it, but he used the whole COVID thing as almost a rallying cry. Like, you heard... we made fun of Ryan Tannehill saying, yeah, nobody believed in us. You know, we had all this time off. And I'm like, no, well, you put that on your... did it to yourself. You know, you guys were cheating, and you know, you spread this thing. You went against the COVID restrictions. No, you guys put this upon yourself, but it didn't matter because in that locker room, Vrabel used it as an us against the world mentality, which was awesome.
Right, and Rich, like, that's the opposite of what the Patriots did.
You're right. I mean, in this case, the Patriots didn't do that.
No, the Patriots said it's us against the NFL proper. It's us against the NFL doesn't care about us and blah, 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 blah. And the Tennessee said, and I'm not talking about the Patriots should have practiced and crap like that. That's so get that off of your minds, Twitter. But what I'm saying is that what happened is that Tennessee went, all right, you know, this is the situation. You know, it's us against everybody.
F the doubters.
Yes.
You know, you can hear Vrabel saying these words.
And whether or not that works, what I know the opposite doesn't work, which is, well, the league doesn't care about us, and you decided to play. If you're going to play, you're going to play my way, and this is how it's going to be from now on because we have a losing record. Buffalo's going to lap us here. We're out of the playoffs if the season ended today, and I'm done screwing around.
And you know what's coming up.
Yeah.
Jimmy G week, baby.
You got Jimmy G week, and then you got the Al kid. You got
who looked good. Jimmy Garoppolo's back. Like, I mean, he looked good.
He's I'm being serious. It's Jimmy G week. Like, the 49ers looked really good last night. The Patriots could not stop the run yesterday. They gave up 100 yards on the ground. They're going to go up against that rushing team. It's not getting any easier, guys.
I mean, so 49ers, Bills, Jets, Ravens, Texans. I mean, that's
might
you have
two
one guaranteed
wins on that one.
You have one guaranteed win. You have one guaranteed win, and the rest is up in the air.
Texans always find a way to lose, no matter what.
That is true.
Like yesterday.
It is true.
Up 7, let's go for 2.
I don't know what the hell they were doing.
That doesn't
make any sense. The best is what's his face? The old Oakland QB was holding up the card. Hey, put this. I've had this in my wallet for 20 years. He's holding up the card of what you're supposed to do. All right, we'll be back. We will have on the phone with us, and then we'll take Dan. But we'll also have with us a man by name of Ted Johnson.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.